Hi.
We're back.
I know.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I think like a year or something. But we're here. We're hanging in the garage, the recording
back in
studio.
The garage.
How you been? How have you been?
I've been fantastic. Got investigated by child safety. Fucking unemployed for a minute. Became a construction worker. It's been fucking amazing. What about you?
Yeah, good. I had COVID. You know what's one of those things about COVID? Is I was like, not embarrassed to have it, but yeah, I felt like I was like a leper or something.
Yeah, because you were.
Fuck up, cunt.
I have pure blood.
I'm so grateful for you though.
Yeah, pure blood. Slave. Never get sick.
You're a good
double
like
vaccination,
bitch.
Double vaccination, bro. That's what happens. Hey, everyone, go get your vaccination so you can feed your family when everyone's sick. Yo.
But did you work?
It was the best having time off, to be honest.
Yeah, it was good. I'm like grateful that I had someone there to help me.
Nah, the reason I'm a good house bitch is because when I was growing up, I had these things called aunties and uncles. So when I broke my leg or when I was sick, they would help me out. So they taught me. So if you want to call my auntie and uncle a house bitch, go ahead,
up.
Bro.
Shut
if you want to pass that blame.
I was just going to drink your coffee. I think that's so we've been together 15 years now. Married 13, something like that.
Yep.
And one thing I've learned is you fucking hate sharing.
Yeah. No. Oh, whoa. No, no, no. You've got it all wrong, my friend. Must have been looking at our relationship with one eye closed or something.
I think that's been our whole 15 years, my eyes closed.
What I hate doing is asking someone if they want something. And then I prepare something for myself and I don't get the full enjoyment of the whole portion. That's what I don't like.
Nah, you're just greedy.
No. I'm probably one of the most sharing people, what is it?
Generous?
Most generous people you've ever met, you fucking dog.
Yeah, true. Happy 15 years.
Yeah, there's a bit of feeling in that one, sorry.
I was thinking, because we miss our anniversary every single year since
22nd of March.
Since the moment, yeah, but you fucking forgot to say, so did I. I messaged you on like the 25th and I was like, hey, I think it was our anniversary.
Yeah.
But when my dad was alive, so I'm blaming my dad, but he's dead now, he would message and say, happy anniversary. And that's the only time I'd remember is when he'd send a message. But because now that he's passed, it's like five days later, I'm like, oh, shit.
It's something that we're like trying to forget now, eh?
Our anniversary?
Gradually push it to the side and then hopefully this marriage goes over that side too. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Trying. We're not really like celebratory.
It's an unconscious strategy that we're using to slowly separate.
Is there something you want to talk about? But we don't like celebrate each other's birthdays in like a traditional sense and buying each other gifts or Valentine's Day or not even Christmas.
We don't do the buy each other gifts. We do the, what do you want to do? Hey, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. Don't go buying anything or trying to organize anything. This is what I want to do.
I feel like we've always liked experiences, like doing shit together.
Mind you, I've had a surprise birthday once that you organized and it was the shit.
What was it?
At Cape Barren in Sydney.
Yeah.
It was after one of my fights or something.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was after one of my fights. Yeah, I came home and the house was just full of people. And I was like, what? How'd you just get in?
And that's one of your favorites. It's just a party with other people.
Yeah. And I was like, Ness, did you hide my stuff?
What stuff?
Lubrications, moisturizer. You know, I like to keep my skin fresh. To death.
What would be your like go-to lube?
Spit. Chugs. That's gross. Ew.
Ew.
Ew. Nah, aloe vera. Nah, aloe vera. Like
the plant?
Nah, that's sore. Even soap sore. You're better off using some kind of like non-scented grease of some kind. But I don't do that kind of stuff,
anyway,
you know.
I
save that for my marriage because it's selfish if you have to take all that energy and put into yourself.
Have you always had like little hiding spots for lubes?
Oh, no. Lube has never been like I need to have lube if I'm going to masturbate.
Oh, yeah.
Masturbate.
But it's rough, bro. Like, I think without it, it's a bit like.
I'm from the fucking jungles of Samoa, bro. You think I need some lubes to pleasure myself? Shit. No, I'm actually from the streets of fucking Auckland.
You're like number one lube man.
Not really.
I don't know. For me, as someone who gives, I find lube. I feel more confident with lube.
Yeah, I think for guys, lubrication just helps you not sustain any injuries.
Oh, okay.
And you really don't want any injuries down
like
there.
Like raw.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But yeah, so how you been?
I've been great. Yeah. Now, I've been really good. Just working, found an amazing job working for a company that I love.
We love you, Black Butterfly.
Got awesome clients that I work with. Get to hang out with my kids a lot more often than I used to. Mm. Yeah.
That's been cool.
And I should be pumping out podcasts, but I'd rather just kick it.
But today's a new day.
Today's a new day. I'm turning a page.
Turning a new leaf.
And a leaf. Mm. What about you? How you been?
Good. Really good.
Mm.
Yeah. Had some, you know, you go through things. I think life happened sort of this last year like everyone else, you know.
Mm.
No need to be like dramatic about it. But because it's me, let's also be dramatic about it. Talk about me. Yeah, I guess just like finding yourself as a, what's it called? Entrepreneur or business person. And then like as a mom, a stay-at-home mom, a friend, a community member. Yeah, I feel like COVID gave me a fucking mean kick up the arse. Where, I don't know, you just hindsight. Hindsight's a motherfucker. Like once you realize all the things that you were doing were not actually you in the way that you share yourself or the things that you talk about or how you act or, yeah, I think it's just easy to lose sight of oneself with who's a person like myself.
Yeah, I think like taking in so much stimuli definitely has like a part to play.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if we're designed to be taking in this much fucking information, trying to form opinions on stuff that doesn't even fucking relate to us.
Yeah. I think that's what I realized. I was like, why am I caring about shit that doesn't like directly affect me and jumping on this train of you have to care or you have to advocate for this or you have to have an opinion or it's like, bro, shut the fuck up.
I think you can care. But if you're not taking care of the things that are around you and you're using your energy off fucking worrying about what's happening in Ukraine and Russia and you ain't like raising your kids or you ain't like looking after yourself mentally and physically, it's one of those fucking wake up to yourself, bro. Mm.
Yeah, self-care. Self-care is a big one. Self-care,
that's a huge thing. Like, you can't really do anything else out there properly to its full potential unless you're looking after yourself mentally and physically.
Well, I got off the bungers. That feels really good, even though I'm sucking on a vape every 10 seconds. But
I'm not. I don't do those bloody nicotine things.
Like, compassion. But that feels good to let go of one thing, even though I replace it for something else. And, yeah, getting off the greens as well has been really good for me. Mm. I realize I'm not a... I have a very addictive personality, which I think like many. But there were things that would like cloud me, like headachey and like clouded thoughts and like even stuff about myself. And so it feels good to move through, not move through addiction, but like, you know, when you see shit that you're attached to and you don't realize how fucking dependent you are on it.
When you like recognize it.
Yeah, like the smoking thing for me, like smoking ciggies or bunners. I'll just like use it as an excuse, like, oh, I need 10 minutes for my kids. I just need like time out or I'm stressed and just realizing those things. But like the impact it was having on my health was probably the biggest one. So it feels good. It feels good to like achieve something, you know? And like it might not be giant, but just getting off something. Because I was a smoker since I was probably 13, 12.
Well, like full time.
I'd say full-time by about 14.
Mm.
Yeah. And then, like, when I was pregnant with the kids, and, a little bit after, no, I was still smoking with Tay as my first pregnancy.
Were you?
In the beginning.
No, you weren't.
In the beginning.
In the beginning, yeah. But then, yeah, you kicked it.
Yeah.
And then you forced me to kick it. I don't know why. I wasn't fucking carrying a baby around.
Do you know what?
Shit.
That was like the biggest thing.
I enjoyed
thing.
The shit out of my smoking back then. I was like, ooh, can't wait to have a cold beer and a cigarette after work.
I used to blame you.
Oh, it stinks. Oh, it stinks.
It does stink.
Can you go and brush your teeth and wash your hands? I'm like, the fuck, you was doing this like about a week ago.
Yeah, but I can't smell it though.
About a week ago, a week ago.
I think you reminded me of my dad, like with your smoke breath. So you're lying next to me, I'm about to do the bang. I'm like, bro, you fucking smell like my dad. Like, this is gross. Not a good thought to enter my mind. Killing my vibe. But yeah, I used to blame you. I'm like, if he doesn't quit, then it means I can't quit. And so then I'll get angry at you.
And I'll be like,
that you're the reason for not sorting my shit out.
I'm new to Australia. I'm having a child. Maybe I should quit smoking.
No, I mean like 6 months ago.
Oh, 6 months ago, yeah.
Yeah. Easy to blame. Yeah, feels better.
I don't. They need to take no responsibility.
Yeah, it's
shit.
Awesome.
It's their fault. They should have made these illegal in this country, so I would never have picked up the habit. Fuck you, ScoMo.
I listened to How to Quit Smoking. Yeah. Oh, fuck. By Alan Carr. That was a really cool book. I didn't finish it, but that's what sort of helped me kick it. Because it gave me an understanding of like the chemical side of it, like what the chemicals are actually doing,
yeah,
like why it's
how it works,
yeah, how it
why
works.
You're like craving for something.
And once I understood the how, I was like, oh yeah, cool, like fuck you, I'm gonna try and figure this shit out on my own.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, thank you. But yeah, it's been cool to like talk. I mean, not only on the podcast, but just having proper discussions where I'm not talking about my healing journey all the time. You know?
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like the podcast has been happening offline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done a podcast in ages. So it's really just been about finding a time when we can sit down and dedicate some time to it.
I think confidence too. It's scary. Yeah. Like at some point you can, is it, fuck, what's that thing? Imposter syndrome?
Mm. Fuck that. Nah. I'm confident as shit talking on this podcast. Fuck, I'm an imposter and there's been no other Coco talk.
Well, this is going well. Yeah, we've been like connecting offline. Fuck, it doesn't sound like it. Nah, guys, we're good. So yeah, what has 15 years, what's 15 years taught you? Or one thing?
One thing 15 years has taught me. Fucking no one's got the answer, bro. No one's in the right. No one's got like the clear way, the exact steps to live a happy life. No one. But you know, when I was a kid, I'd look at all these adults and they had all the answers. You should be doing this to do that. You should be doing this to do that. Now that I'm an adult, I'm like, these motherfuckers barely know what they're doing, being held together by cigarettes, coffee, and fucking junk food. You know, just to maintain that whole like 9 to 5, work Monday to Friday, stressed as fuck when you come home to your kids, can't even talk to them. You know, don't talk to me, I'm trying to relax. I remember when I was in that kind of position. I didn't recognize it at the time. And when I did recognize it, I was like, who the fuck are you? You decide to go have these kids and then you're moaning about coming home from work, not getting your own time. Why have the kids in the first place? So I think like it's a...
Because we were 18 and didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Mm, well, nah, I was 18. But fuck. I think at that age, even then, I knew what I was doing when it came to like bringing your life into this world, you know, and the amount of responsibility that's attached to that. Mm. Yeah, just recognizing no one's got the right answer. You just, it's a working thing. Just keeps on going. New lessons to learn. You don't just find the answer and you're like, fuck, I'm good. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm here.
True.
You just keep working and you find different ways around it and you decide what works for your family and what doesn't work for your family. Mm. I mean, like, we could get to a point where I don't agree with what you do, you don't agree with what I do. Oh, well, let's go our separate ways because we don't, you know, agree on the same thing. But we haven't gotten to that point yet. We managed to bounce ideas off each other and keep moving forward because I guess we have the same goal in mind. It's not, I want to go and do this, you want to go and do that. Like, we want to push our kids forward, want to have a platform for our kids to like enter this world, you know.
Mm.
I don't want them to grow up and be like everyone, ah, I didn't have the same start line as the other person, my life so hard, I'm a victim. Fuck that noise. I couldn't imagine me dying and my kids coming out there with that attitude. Mm. Blaming everyone else apart from themselves. They have all the tools in their toolbox, but they'd rather push it out, see what everyone else is doing. Someone else's responsibility. I think that's probably what I learned. No one's got the right answer. You can keep moving forward together. New information comes and goes. You keep going.
Mm.
What about you?
Okay. Do you want us to put another one on? Yeah. Okay. You go inside, darling, and then we'll put it on. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Small human. Joys of being parents. And I think for me is assumption. Like, never assume what the other person is feeling, thinking, or going through. Like, I think it comes under communication as well. But without communication, honestly, everything literally falls apart. And I feel like I've been on the end of making assumptions that you should know how I feel, you should know what I'm thinking about, and then I've also made the assumption that I know what you're going through because my problems are bigger than yours, like mine. Mm. Yeah, it's almost like a comparison thing. But I read this really cool book, The Four Agreements. Mm. And I feel like reading the part about assumption really changed my mind and how I take responsibility for how I communicate. And sometimes it's difficult to communicate, like the things that you really enjoy or the things that you don't want to do anymore or things that, when things just, you want to take a turn. And so, yeah, I think assumptions. And the moment that I like nip that on the butt, I feel like we've been able to connect on a deeper level. Heaps of other things.
Yeah, hard.
What have you learnt from, like, just between us, like, not only as parents, put the parent thing to side, but as friends or lovers or whatever you want to call us?
Mm. What have I learned?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Relationship-wise? Like, what do you mean, what have I learned between us?
Over 15 years, like, what's been a highlight or one thing that you know for sure?
I don't know. I think, like, just how to communicate with each other is probably, like, one of the biggest things. So that there isn't room for assumptions. Being able to, like, share what you're feeling, but also with the other person, not, like, not emotionally dumping on each other.
Mm.
Yeah, communication skills, different little tools. You know, when to take a time out, when to take a breath, when not to bring something up. Shit, even being a dad, man.
Mm.
Even being a dad trying to, like, I smashed my son's phone the other day. Let's tell the story.
Okay.
Story time. Yeah, so I had a Monday to Friday week. Got home on the Friday. I was like, all right, I'm going to relax. This is going to be the best. I've got the weekend off. I cannot wait to just kick it. So I'm having my relax, sitting on the couch with the four-year-old watching some bloody kid movie. And I hear the two older boys start fighting. Yeah, it's my turn on the computer. It's my turn on the computer. The older boys pushing the door and the 11-year-olds holding the door and pushing on each other. And then they start swearing. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, sort it out. They don't sort it out. They keep arguing and everything. I was like, sort it out. I'm going to take that laptop off you. Keep arguing and everything. I'm like, oh, stuff this. Walk into the room, rip the laptop out of the wall, pull it off them. Man, and my 11-year-old's just going off. He's going off trying to get the laptop. Give it back. Give it back. I'm like, where the hell did this come from? I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I tell him, I was like, go have a shower and I'll talk to you after. He's like, no. So I snatch his phone. He's like, that's my phone. Give me my phone. I go, that's not your phone. I pay for it. That's my phone.
My house.
And then he's like, I want to go for a walk. And I was like, no, you go for your shower and I'll talk to you after this. My whole point was, like, I just wanted to try and get him to, like, start listening to go have a shower, regulate yourself in the shower. I understand you want to go for a walk, but it's nighttime. I want you to have a shower. He doesn't want to go for a shower. I said, go have a shower. I'm warning you, go have a shower. Nah, if this, I'm not doing it. If. You know, when I was younger, I'd never speak to my dad like that. And I explained this to him after, right? But, you know, if this, if that, I'm like, go have a shower. If this, if that. I said, I'm giving you one more chance. I'm going to smash this phone. Go and have a shower. He looks at me and he goes, if this, if that. Boom! And I smash the phone. Oh, and it goes off. Little man tries to get out of the house. I grab him, put him back inside the house. It's going off. If this, if that. You can't smash my phone. And I'm still, like, thinking in the back of my head. I'm like, why the hell is this kid reacting that way? You know, why? What? All I done was take the laptop off him and the phone. What's going on here? You know, my son's just blowing up to the point where Ness has to come out. And probably, like, the funniest part of the whole situation is Ness got in between me and him, mate. And my boy took off to the back of the house. I'm in the hallway. Ness is in. She's like, oh, it's all right. I got this. You know, just give him some space. I'm like, all right, cool. And while she's in between us, man, suddenly my 11-year-old has the biggest balls on the planet. All you hear is, yeah, motherfucker, what? Yeah, what? Fuck, you wrecked my phone.
Shit.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm like, damn.
It's one of those situations where you're like, you're not supposed to laugh and you're trying to be serious, but like, did this motherfucker even say that? Like,
I'm standing in the hallway going, what the hell? I was like, oh, hell no. That's got to be the moldy blood.
And he's walking backwards. I was so disappointed. Like, fucking walk forward.
But yeah, we eventually all calmed down. I apologized for smashing the phone. He apologized for not listening. It all turned out to be all about something else that was on the laptop that really got him upset and got him reacting that way. But, you know, we managed to sort everything out. But, yeah, first time smashing a phone. I'm quite used to smashing things growing up. I've smashed our first Game Boy. I've smashed the PlayStation. You know, losing is not... I'm all right with losing. I guess it's not getting a turn from my older brother kind of hung with me, you know? Mm. So, yeah, that was a big issue that happened to us, what, last weekend?
Last weekend. And meanwhile, I'm having, like, a deep and meaningful conversation with my friend on the phone about, like, wombs and, like, bleeding. And then I was, motherfucker. And I was like, hold on, sis, I got to go. There's some shit happening with my family. And all I was worried about was you guys were on the front lawn. And I was like, fucking taking your shit out on the front lawn for everyone to see. Shit.
The neighbors are going to call the cops.
I was like, I don't care. You're popping off. Just get your ass inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
A bit of an adventure.
Yeah, I think it was a good thing that happens. I mean, you know, on the outside, it might be like, that sounds violent. And it's like, bro, fuck, these things happen. And like, when it happens in the situation, you just deal with what you have. And
well, it helped us uncover the root cause of the anger.
Mm.
And it helped us bring up the subject that hadn't really been spoken about in our family with an 11-year-old. You know, at times when it comes to the birds and the bees, porn on the internet, access to things that, you know, young people probably shouldn't be looking at, they shouldn't have in their mind. You know, people sometimes freak out. Fuck, my son's seen this. It's the end of the world.
That's me.
When I saw that, you know, coming from a guy that was constantly chasing porn as a young person, we didn't have the internet. So like the magazines got shared around and the videotapes got shared around. So I understand the struggle. I understand the awkwardness, the shame and the guilt that comes with these fucking random boners. Mm. When you look at something you're attracted to and you're like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't be looking at that kind of thing. And then you get a lot of shame that gets connected to that. And then you don't talk about it to anyone. Mm. So we were blessed in a way to have gone through that whole issue to the next morning sitting down with my 11-year-old and giving him the talk on the birds and the bees, you know. Mm. Told him exactly what happens, why porn isn't real. These people are actors. Just like you watch Batman on TV, these porn stars are the same thing. When you run into a girl, she's not going to have the same reactions that these porn stars have. Her bits might not look like what these porn stars have. Your bits might not look like what these porn stars have. This is fantasy. Mm-hmm. This is something that a young person shouldn't be looking at. Mm-hmm. This shouldn't mold your view on sex. So, yeah, we had the... Oh, well, just to go back in time on that story, when I snatched the laptop, my little man was looking at porn. That's what freaked him out. That's what made him freak out about, give me back the laptop. Give it back. Give it back. That's what made him freak out about the phone. Give me back my phone. Give it back. Give it back. I couldn't understand why this kid was freaking out. And then when we realized what was on the laptop, we didn't get a chance to close it down. We managed to bring up the conversation and speak about the subject together at baseline the next day. And he got to share with us what his understanding of it was.
That was a fucking funny conversation in itself, sitting down and talking about it between us. But one thing I wanted to say, as a mama, trust your intuition, because I was in bed, it was midnight, I couldn't go to sleep, I don't know why, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to do some work, because I had this idea that popped in. My computer wouldn't work, and then for some reason I was like, fuck it, I'll use this one. It's like midnight going on 1 o'clock, and I don't know why, but I opened another browser that we don't normally use, and I just checked the history, and there it was. And I was like, oh, this was the reason. Like, it was kind of like finding gold, but at the same time, I was like, oh, fuck, this is the next problem we then have to deal with. Mm. So, yeah, trust your, like, weird intuition.
Yeah. Like, it was pretty good because we've never really had the birds and bees talk with him yet.
Mm-mm.
Had it with the older boy. I've had to like rehash on the birds and bees talk. I'm very much about like, if you're going to be talking about anything sexual, I feel like those things should be kept in-house.
Mm-mm. We've spoken about that. We're like, school shouldn't be responsible for teaching our kids about what they do with their genitals, how it works, how you relate to someone.
How the fuck are you going to have a stranger, a completely random person, tell your kid, this is what sex is. Mm-mm. This is what happens during puberty. I understand there's people that are trained in things. I understand there's professors and fucking doctors out there. But I also understand that every single male I know has a fucking penis. Every single male I know has gone through puberty. Every single male I know has had an attempt at sex or have tried masturbation.
Do you think it serves a purpose, though, for families who won't? I'm not saying we're perfect or amazing, but who don't allow this kind of open communication, that they're also left in the dark, and then you have education like that, which may then eventually help a kid who's feeling shame about something. And I don't know, there's a sex ed teacher that's it's okay to have a boner.
Well, I think that's where the assumption's aimed at. Mm-hmm. The assumption is families aren't talking about this. Mm-hmm. We need to get professionals in to speak to these kids about these topics. Mm-hmm. That's an assumption. Just like a lot of things are assumptions. Families aren't doing this. You aren't eating the right way. These things are aimed at the people on that line, you know, the people that don't have the information to share with their kids. Mm-hmm. This is why they want to bring it to school. There's always like a why? Why do these people want to talk about sex to my kids? Why? Because there are families out there that go through trauma, that go through sexual trauma, that go through domestic violence. Mm. These things are never spoken about. Where are they going to get the information from? They're not going to jump on Google and go, you know, what's the correct way of having sex? How does sex work? Mm. You know, they're going to take on what they hear from their family, what they take in social media, and the stimuli that they take in, what movies they're watching, all of that. Mm. Yeah, so I think it's... For our family, it's very important that those things are kept in-house.
For sure.
I don't expect a random person to teach my kids about how to treat a woman. Mm-mm. I have a wife. I'm a male. We can have the discussion together. Mm-mm. I do understand why they push for these like sexual education things in schools, because there are people that are on the outskirts of society that don't have the information to help these children out. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it serves a purpose, but I think it's to, if we're sitting here complaining and saying someone else is responsible for teaching my kids about A, B, and C, I feel like that's where there's like a fracture maybe. Ask questions. Like,
yeah.
Why are you so scared to talk about it? You know, like what is the fear? What is the shame? Whether it's around culture or religion or I don't know, whatever it might be.
It's funny because I hear this argument brought up all the time, the whole like this movie's pushing this kind of behavior. This music's pushing this kind of behavior on the kids. Oh, we got to be careful. This is influencing. See, when I hear that bullshit, I think you need to be responsible. If you're going to have kids, you have the responsibility to help them navigate things and understand when they hear music, that's music. When you see a movie, that's a movie. When you want to try something in real life, that's real life. Because I've heard this argument before. Oh, these boys, you know, with their rap songs and their drug dealing and their violence, they need to be aware that young people are looking up to them. My issue with that is these young people's parents are the ones that are in charge. All these creatives are doing are creating music. They're artistic people. They're pushing this music out there and it vibes with certain people. They're not pushing this music out there to influence and make people dress like them, talk like them, do the same crimes as them, say the same words as them. They're pushing it out there because it's a personal outlet of what they see in everyday life growing up in those kind of neighborhoods. And I really do think like that kind of education, I think like as parents, like we need to take responsibility for that. I don't want no fucking music thing influencing my kid to be someone other than themselves. If they do see music and they want to have that conversation, why do people say this kind of words in their songs? Oh, why is he got why is he doing those kind of gang signs? What's the gun thing that he's doing shooting? I can explain that to him. That's the whole reason for having a parent. But I think when that responsibility is offloaded and you've got these adults pushing back on these artists, you need to have a responsibility. That music wouldn't exist if these cunts had a responsibility towards it. It wouldn't exist at all. So, yeah, amen.
Malo. Thank you. No, that was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. Well, that's a nice one for back in there.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else that you want to talk about, my love?
No, darling.
All right.
Yeah, it was just nice listening to you.
Cocoa Talk 2.0. We're back.